call of advisors. I see that there's some general public on the phone as well, but I just want to make sure and test the system. So see if you guys can get in. So I see Bill, I'm guessing that's Bill Osborne. You're on the line. Bob, I've heard you, so you can talk. I've got four people as call-ins. Can we go through who that is one at a time?
This is Alan, and Jack is here with me.
Okay.
Kerry Hoffman's here as well.
Are you on the phone, Kerry, or are you logged into your computer?
I'm on the phone.
Okay, great. Anybody else in on the phone? I got two other lines.
Dave is, remember?
Yeah, no, I know you are, Dave. Thanks.
I've got my computer on, but so far it's still downloading something.
Yeah, it takes a second.
Yeah, mine's slow, so it takes an hour.
Okay.
Picture, Alan.
I've got a user here, Sergeant Rowe.
That's Matt Nix's dad.
Oh, okay, good. Glad you could make it, Matt.
I'm not sure how showed up that way, but
yeah. Apologize for the change in technology, folks. We're working with the best we got here through these difficult circumstances. But we wanted to get back out to you folks. We have had a preliminary meeting with the Quinault Nation and shared proposals. Hey, Francis, how you doing? Glad to see you just joined us. Are you able to talk, Francis?
Am I muted?
No, you're good. Okay, just making sure that the system's working. So, if you're not going to talk, could you please everybody mute your stuff so we don't get feedback? And just unmute yourself when you're ready to speak. So we've had some things happen today and yesterday, Fast and Furious. We've got an ocean auction proposal that was put in by the SAS, the Salmon Advisory Committee, this morning through PFMC. So I'll walk through that. As I was just mentioning, we have had a preliminary meeting with the Quinault Indian Nation and have exchanged proposals. So we'll spend a little time walking through that. I had falsely assumed that this system would be similar to the five other systems that I'm using currently to host these meetings: Zoom, LifeSize, GoToMeeting, all these things. What we just found out prior to this meeting is that we can't share files administratively. We can only do it through a PowerPoint presentation. So I had to quickly put some stuff in a PowerPoint so we could walk through the best we can. I apologize for that, but if you are at a computer, the file that we'll be going through is what I emailed out to the advisory group yesterday. So really quick, talk about the ocean options first. The recommendation that went in this morning for a non-treaty Chinook was 55,000. Non-treaty Chinook TAC, total allowable catch. And that is basically a middle point between the high and low options from PFMC 1. Second, for Coho, the non-treaty TAC, or total allowable catch, that was put forth on the council floor this morning was 35,000. That is the high option for Coho. So that's what was submitted this morning on the council floor. Obviously, we've got a ways to go till Thursday. Those are just the preliminary starting points for negotiation. So we got a long ways to go. Some of you may be interested in what that means for recreational fishing in the Marine Area 2. So some of the regulations that went along with that would be a June 20th through September 30th ocean fishery, with June 20th through the 28th being all week, with a one fish daily limit and release all coho. So only Chinook and Chum could be harvested during that time frame. And then beginning on the 29th, Marine Area 2 would go to a Sunday through Thursday fishery, 2 salmon daily, only one of which may be a Chinook, and then mark selective for coho. The minimum size for Chinook was 22 inches, and I believe the minimum size for coho was 16. I'll have to check on that. I didn't write that number down. And just as a quick note for everyone, the council is taking public comment. Hey, hold on just a second. Let me get through this. The council is taking public comment through the website that I sent you guys last Friday. If you go on to pcouncil.org and follow the link from the meeting schedule link that I provided everyone on Friday, you can scroll down to the bottom where it says public comment. You just click on that, fill out a little form and send it in, and you can comment, get your public comment directly into the council. So any questions on that?
Yeah, it's Francis. Was that Sunday through Thursday on the 5-day a week?
Yes, Sunday through Thursday, yes.
And did you say 55 on the cans?
Yeah, 55,000 for Chinook, 35,000 for coho.
So it's a blend of option, the high option and the middle option.
Yes, for Chinook. For coho, it's just a straight high option input. And
okay.
I will remind folks that we have been modeling the middle option, so that was a 25K coho. So that'll be, it's looking to be a little bit higher, at least in the very beginning here. Like I said, don't know where we're going to end up, but that's where we're at right now. So next, I want to go into real quickly the proposal review. I tried to snap together a real quick PowerPoint with some of the information in it. This will just be the fishery summary. The 2020 summary table information from the file that was emailed out yesterday. So if you want to try and follow along on your own computers, let me see if I can get this figured out again. Okay, so can everybody see the table there that I've just posted?
I can see it.
Okay, everybody can see it? Okay, great. So the first thing I want to talk about is spring Chinook really quickly, and that's not going to be referenced on your table, but I just want to talk about it. So we had a forecast of 1,236 spring Chinook this year across the bar in relation to an escapement goal of 1,400. So we're below escapement to begin with. What we have heard from our tribal co-managers in terms of their proposal is a zero. The Quinault Indian Nation will not be putting any gear in the water prior to their fishery this year. We had talked about in our meetings previously that we would have no directed spring Chinook fishery. We did have a little bit of conversation around our game fish fisheries, if we've had conversations with the Chehalis tribe, as some of you may be aware, the Chehalis tribe, their impacts come out of our WDFW managed share. So they expressed an interest in us also, in terms of WDFW managed fishery, having zero impact or zero gear in the water this year for spring Chinook. Right now we're still just talking about that. So if you could please keep your Norm, you gotta mute yourself, bud. Thank you. Our proposal at this point in time, just to reiterate, is to have no directed spring Chinook fishing. But we will have some conversations about game fish and with the Chehalis tribe moving forward. So in terms of their spring Chinook fishery and what their what they're planning. So just want to make everybody aware of that. Any questions about that? Any comments people want to make before we move on?
A question. Are they going to assert any ceremonial subsistence, either tribe?
I don't know that. So well aware last year, of what happened. We all closed, everybody was closed. Last year, the Quinault Indian Nation did not have any CNS fisheries. It was only the Chehalis tribe who had a CNS fishery for just one adult spring Chinook. We haven't had those conversations yet with the Chehalis, so I'm not sure where we're going there or what they're thinking there. But as the proposal we got from Quinn was a zero. They would not take any. Any other spring Chinook before I move on? Okay. I think what we'll want to talk about real quick is I just want to briefly remind everybody what the season structure was for Model B. I apologize once again for how we're having to do this. Wasn't really prepared to have to only be able to share PowerPoints through this format. So I'll just quickly remind everybody in terms of the marine fishery on the Hump Tulip side, August 1st through September 15th, a one adult bag, release wild Chinook and wild coho. On the Chehalis side, it was a September 16th through November 30th, two adult bag, a release Chinook in that area. For the freshwater, we had the Jack fishery there in the Chehalis, August 1st through September 15th. And then in the lower river, September 16th through an October 31st, two adult bag release Chinook, and then moving to November 1st through December 31st, moving to a one fish bag release Chinook and release Jum. The rest of the Chehalis systems all have that October 1 through 31, a two adult bag release Chinook, and then November and December, a one adult bag release Chinook and release Jum. For the Hump Tulips, it was a September 1 through September 30th, two adult bag, release wild Chinook and wild coho. October 1 through November 30, one adult bag, one may be a Chinook, release wild Chinook and wild coho, and a November release of Chum. December 1 through December 31st, a one adult bag, release Chinook, Chum, and wild coho. In terms of the commercial fishery, we had no commercial days scheduled in week 40, scheduled at all on the Hump Tulip side in here. And we had a 4 days in week 43 and 44 days, or 3 days in week 44. Those are all 12-hour fisheries, live box, 45-minute soak times, release wild Chinook with those commercial regs. So that's what we shared with the Quinault in terms of a preliminary proposal. As I mentioned, we got a proposal back from them, and I apologize I can't show it up on the screen. But if for you who have it on your computer, you can follow along by clicking on the treaty schedule tab in the model that was sent yesterday. So on the Chehalis side, starting in week 41, they're proposing 3 days, week 42, 2 days, week 43, 2 days, and then no fishing in week 44 and 45, 3 days in week 46 and 3 days in week 47, and then the 48 through 53 statistical weeks, 5 days. So that's the Chehalis side. So right there, with the commercial schedule that we had in this model, with 4 days in week 43 and 3 days, 4 days in week 43 and 3 days in week 44. That week 43 commercial schedule doesn't fit with guidance in the policy to only have nets in the river 4 days out of any calendar week with 3 days of no netting. And when we view that metric, it needs to include treaty fisheries. So we know we need to do some shaping there on the commercial fishery schedule on the Chehalis side. From the Hump Tulip side, they're starting in week 36. Their proposal is to start week 36 with 3 days, statistical week 37, 3 days, 38, 5 days, 39, 5 days, statistical week 40, 5 days, 41, 3 days, 42, 3 days. And then they have a break between statistical weeks 43, 44, 45. Those would be, end of October 10/20 to the first week of November 11/9, where they'd have no gear in the water, and then go back in with statistical week 46 with 2 days, statistical week 47, 3 days, and statistical weeks 48 through 53, 5 days a week. So there is a little bit of room there for commercial fisheries on the 2C side. Given the 4-3, most notably, between those weeks 43 and 45. So what I want to do here is real quickly, if what I've got on the screen here is from our fishery summary tab. First off, any questions about any of that schedule, any of those schedules?
I got a question on that wild Chinook on the tulip side. I mean, they're at 933. That's just on the Hump Tulip side. I guess I should flip to another tab. What did that do to the red box on the wild Chinook? I'll assume it's a red box now. If
so, it's right there, friend. I don't know. Can you guys see my cursor, or are you just seeing the presentation? I can't tell that.
We just see. I'm going to go to another tab on the.
Just seeing the presentation. Can't see your cursor.
Okay, I'm wondering. Okay, Francis, I was going to get to that. So right now, I just want to see if anybody has any questions or needs any clarity on the schedule that we've shared or they shared with us, and we'll get into what that means in terms of management objectives in just a second.
I just looked. It's horrible.
It's not good. Yeah.
1,700 in the hole.
Yep.
Okay.
So does anybody have any questions about any of that? Okay. Doesn't sound like it. So let's get to management objectives. And I remind folks, I want to go up. So this is the Grays Harbor total from the fishery summary, from the 2020 summary table tab and the model we sent out yesterday. If you look at Chinook, you can see under naturals there, we got a forecast of 15,001 fish across the bar, the aggregate number of fish across the bar. Somebody's not on mute. And maybe that's me, I don't know. So, I'm hearing a lot of feedback. Is everybody else getting that? Yeah, they are?
Yep, Chad, I'm hearing that as well. And I see a couple folks that are not on mute.
Yeah, Chad, I'm seeing it.
Yeah, you guys, for those of you who I can see, Andy, you need to mute your computer, bud. And then Dave, it looks like you may need to. Dave, you're logged in 3 times. So, okay. Get back to where I was. Sorry about that. 15,000 natural Chinook over the bar, an escapement goal of 13,326. I got that up on the screen. What we have to remember is the agreed to management objectives are 13,326 naturally spawning Chinook. Those are the management objectives that we share with the Quinault Indian Nation. The hump tulips, the Chehalis specific natural origin escapement goals that we have for ourselves are that. They're UDFW escapement goals. They are not shared, nor are they agreed to, with the Quinault Indian Nation. They are viewing this under the aggregate naturally spawning escapement is the metric. I will also remind folks that the PFMC, Pacific Fisheries Management Council, also has accepted those metrics, not our individual, and this is the Chehalis Basin. So the portion of that that would be Chehalis is up there near the top, 9,753 for Chinook. Those are not the agreed to management objectives. Those are ours, and we alone are responsible for those. So I understand your question, Francis. When we look at the hump tulip side, and I believe I'm on the hump tulip side here on the screen, overall, if you look at the green box there at the top under natural Chinook, our non-treaty share is 142. Based on that natural origin escapement goal, we're only taking 124. The Quinault Indian Nation has taken 933, moving down that column. And the box there that's in red in that column, 2,800. That's what we're expecting for the natural origin escapement. So that's below our goal. But I'll just remind folks that our take there is 124 fish. If we shut down our fisheries completely, we're not going to make up the difference between that and the goal. So we're in a similar situation with hump tulips natural coho, where we have an escapement, a forecast run size 3,700. We're already 3,000 fish and some change below the escapement goal. I'll remind folks that our management objective when this situation occurs is to only have less equal to or less than a 5% impact. And the fishery that we've proposed moving down that column all the way down to that first green box where it says 2.69, that's our WDFW managed harvest rate on that stock. So we're within our percentages. The problem here is the differences in management objectives between what we have internally and what are agreed to management objectives with the Quinault Indian Nation for use in this Pacific Fisheries Management Council process in the North of Falcon process overall. So, anybody else want to weigh in on that, or?
I'll weigh in one more time. You know, we have nothing to give up that can make any meaningful difference to those shortfalls. I mean, we're 124 wild Chinook. We're at 99 wild coho, and they're at some astronomical number. What was it again? To go back and look at it.
It's for the Queen Treaty harvest there, moving down that column, Chinook. Now they're at 933 naturals, 1,133.
Yeah, 1,500 on the coho. So we're 15-1 there. We're 9-1 on the other. Oh my gosh! I'm just hoping we stand our ground with the seasons that we can put on the table that meet our objectives, and that PFMC does not frown on that. That's my only comment. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Francis. Anybody else? Okay, so
remind them to unmute before they talk.
Thanks for that, Francis. If you are on mute, go ahead and unmute yourself. And Dave, did you want to chime in? I see you unmuted yourself.
Yeah, Dave, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, I had to redial. I got locked out somewhere. My first, I have a simple question, really. One is, first off, is where that proposal where it was November 1, you start one fish bag, and before that it was two. What that basically simply does is place the conservation requirements almost vastly more on the inland fisheries, because after in November, the bay fishery and the tidal water where I fish basically go away with the rains. So I don't know why you would propose that, because that is extraordinarily unfair, and I'm not even sure if it complies with the policy.
Okay, Dave, you know, when we look at, when we looked at, we needed to make some room on coho, we looked at where, what had the biggest impact. If you see there in the, what I've got up on the screen under WDFW managed fishery, and you go down through natural coho, hatchery coho, and go down through those columns. The Marine Area 2-2 harvest under that paradigm schedule that we talked about would harvest a total of 2,166 coho. When you look at the freshwater, and hatchery harvest like that, 8,375 coho. So understand what you're saying. I don't think we're completely out of whack on the sharing principles, but we also needed to consider where we could get the most bang for our buck and continue to try and fish a full schedule without making any adjustments to season lengths. So that's kind of what we considered, but definitely hear what you're saying, and we'll get that comment noted. So I just want to really quickly, we need to take some input here on commercial fisheries. I know we got some commercial advisors on the call. Like to talk a little bit about how you may schedule that. Don't know if we did send the model out. Don't know if people have played with it a little bit. We haven't got any suggestions in from the commercial sector, but now that we have a Quinn schedule, I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about commercial fisheries. And I'll remind folks, if you're on mute, you got to unmute yourself before you talk.
Can you hear me, Chad?
Yes, I can, Bob.
My question is, what if the Quinaults have already maximized the fish? We don't have a hell of a lot to work with, do we?
I think we've got a little room to move some things around. We did have some 2A, 2D days scheduled in the proposal. I think we need to shift them around a little bit to be in compliance with our guidance from the commission in the terms of the salmon management policy. But no, we don't really have a whole lot to work with here.
And I also suggested about fishing in 2B. And did you run any numbers for that fishery that would help us?
Bob, we talked about that at the last advisory group meeting. We did put together a model that had fishing time in 2B. Based on conversations we've had in the past and suggestions you've made in the past, you know, it was our understanding that, that 2B fishery that you proposed last year was really to be able to target chum in that area. Given the forecast and the harvestable surplus we had for chum last year, this year we don't have nearly the cushion that we did last year in terms of a harvestable surplus for chum. So that was one consideration. The other consideration was when we did model that 2B fishery, we took days out of 2A, 2B, and put them in 2B. It was basically, and Mike, correct me here if I'm wrong, but it was about a 20% less harvest overall and around a 20% drop in X vessel value as compared to fishing in 2A, 2D. So that's really kind of the factors that we considered for this year.
Question, Chad.
Uh-huh.
If we're looking at that, when is that data from 2B, what was the years that was used? And what was the run sizes?
I'll have to kick that one to Mike. Mike, do you have anything you could add to that?
Let me know if we get bad reverb. Sounds like it's going well. So I used three of the most recent data points that were available. And as you know, we haven't been in 2D or 2B since 2005. So if I went back through all of the data and hang on a sec, I can do that. So I think I have a model up. There were only a couple of weeks, like in the mid 42, 43, 44, somewhere in there where we actually had some days that we fished. Otherwise, I had to use data that went back to 1991 to get enough years with at least three data points. And I do understand that some of those older data sets have different efforts, but those are the data that we have available. I hope that helps out, Bob.
No, it doesn't. Because I'll tell you what, I would rather fish in 2B than 2C. And I'll tell you what, if we get stuck in 2C and it's blowing, which one of you guys are going to go with me? I'll show you what a ride is like. We got our butts.
Appreciate your input. It'd be nice to hear from other commercial constituents.
Chad.
Yeah, we can hear you, Andy.
All right. Are the quenelle days in the model? Because without looking at the model and handling what the quenelle days are, it's pretty tough to just sit here and go dart to the board.
As I mentioned earlier, Andy, the model that we sent out yesterday includes the quenelle proposal, their scheduled days.
So if we worked on that model, because I saw the 4-3, I saw that we had the 4-3 in there, but is that... So the quenelle days are incorporated into that model, correct?
Yeah, they have. We had in this proposal, we had 4 days in statistical week 43 on the Chehalis side. Their proposal has 2 days, so we need to do a little shaping there. They don't have any days scheduled in 44 and 45. And they've only had 2 days scheduled week 42, 43. So there is
what
there.
What
is, from there, yeah.
Right. What do they got scheduled week 41?
3 days.
Okay.
So basically, we're
going to get 4 days of fishing.
No, I wouldn't say that. There's some ways that we can shape this.
Prior to November, because November is a waste of time. So don't sit there and say we're going to try. Okay.
I hear you. With us being under escapement with the Quinault schedule based on our kind of internal escapement objectives, I think if we stay within a 5% impact to those stocks, like we would if we were, under escapement crossing the bar, and stay within the sharing percentages that would occur based on those 5% harvest control rules, which means on the Chehalis side only a 0.8 impact from commercial fisheries. That's probably what we need to be looking towards in terms of a proposal.
Got it. But if they're going to fish 3-2-2 and then zero, what week are you going to put a day in? You can't do it. You can put one day in 41 and 42.
Given that we have 12-hour fisheries, statistically,
can't do it. If they go noon to noon, you can't do it.
Well, no, that's not exactly accurate, Andy. If they go noon on Sunday and they come out at noon on Wednesday, we could go in on noon on Wednesday. That's a
possibility. Yeah, we've had this conversation before. If it's not daytime fishing, it's a waste of time.
So I hear you, Andy.
That's called garbage time.
I hear you, Andy. Week 42 and 43, they have 2 days. So they'd be coming out at noon on Tuesday, which gives us Wednesday and Thursday to fish and still be compliant with our 4-3 principle in the policy. So there is some opportunity here. It's not all terrible, but you know it's not real great either. But we knew that coming in. It's not like we got robust abundances here across the bar. We're pretty limited to stay on our share to begin with. You know, we knew this was going to be a tough year, but.
Yeah. I'm saying it's going to be tough to sit here on the phone call and try and get something done with our days.
No, I hear you. I hear you. This isn't an ideal situation. But you know, we're just trying to do the best we can with the technology.
Well, I get it. But I'm just saying if we're really going to go over it, I don't think anybody wants to sit here for an hour and plug numbers in. Maybe they do.
Yeah, and I with this WebEx technology, I don't even have the ability. We don't even have the ability to share screens. This is all I can share is PowerPoint presentations. So that's all I have the ability to do. I apologize.
Just saying for the sake of the commercial fishery, it's going to take some time other than this phone call to model something.
Okay. Well, you know, feel free. You've got the model. Stick some days in there, play around with it. Other advisors, stick some days in there, play around with it, and get them sent back to us so we can evaluate it. Things will move pretty fast and furious over this week, and we're shooting for having a fishery package in terms of a proposal ready for a CR 102 by. By the end of the council, Thursday afternoon. So that's kind of where we're at.
Okay. So can I just clarify again? So with the Quinault proposal that's on there, both Chinook escapement goals go into the red.
Correct.
Without us having to adjust.
Correct.
And I also heard you say that, okay, well, it would be incumbent upon us to adjust to as if we were back in the penalty box, 5% or less.
I think that could be a safe place to be. I'm not sure we've got a whole lot of other options besides, you know, shutting down completely. So,
well, on the Hump Tulip side, our objective is 5% because the run is 110% up. But certainly on the Chehalis side, it's not quite that bad. I mean, it's not much more than 110%. So I guess it's not a huge gimme, but the escapement still ends up in the hole, even if we hold ourselves at 5%.
Yes.
Pretty certain it will. I'm kind of doing the math in my head.
Oh, yeah. No, it absolutely does. Yes.
So how is it that it doesn't make sense to me that they could force us to go under in both basins if they're staying within the surplus fish that are available?
You got to remember, Francis.
It's on the wild. I get it now. It's on the wild. Yeah, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're getting to.
Naturally spawning. The escapement objectives that are agreed to with our co-managers and used in this process are naturally spawning fish. So
hatchery fish can be part of that.
Exactly. So I'm going to go back to the Grays Harbor total here, and natural Chinook, that red box, right? That's 11,866. In order to meet the 13,326 escapement objective, it's that 11,866 plus the 3,259 hatchery Chinook that would escape. Some proportion of those will make it to the spawning grounds and spawn naturally. With both those numbers added together, that's an exceedance of the 13,300. That's always been the difficulty here, and because we haven't been faced with this in the past. This year where this one really slaps us in the face, that we have management objectives outside of our agreed to management objectives with Quinn.
I think this is the year that all three we get past this mark with Falcon, but all three jurisdictions are going to have to come to a mutual agreement. Maybe we won't agree on aggregate versus segregated on the goals, but goals should be wild fish, natural origin fish, not just any damn fish that makes it to the gravel. At least that's my opinion. I would think that should be the agency's opinion. I mean, that's what we're managing to. And I would hope that every advisor here has places some value on putting an escapement goal for natural origin spawners, not just any old spawner. I'll concede that the Quinault say, okay, a fish is a fish is a fish for the purpose of harvest, but a fish is a fish is a fish does not apply on the gravel. All science otherwise. And that's all I have to say. We need to get that straightened out, including PFMC. They ought to be able to jump on board and respect this. It should be a wild or goal, not just any fish getting there. What's to stop being 90% calm? That would pass. That's not what we want here.
No, agreed, Francis. I think what we're seeing here in terms of the numbers in front of us is a reminder that we need to get this done. We need to all be on the same page in terms of the management objectives moving forward. I know that's been a priority for us over the past few years, and we've got to get that done moving forward. But as I said, the agreed to management objectives are the agreed to management objectives, and that's what we've got to look for this year. So thank you for that comment. Anybody else?
Yeah, I do, but I'm trying to match up the model on my computer with what you got there, and it's not quite working. I got so many models, I might have grabbed the wrong one. But I'm on the summary table. Can you give me that on yours?
That's what I'm on right there, the 2020 summary table. What you're seeing on the screen is all the way down the Grays Harbor total column at the bottom, table at the bottom.
Okay, the 11886 bit?
Yep.
Okay, all right, we got the same thing. So I'm going to approach this rather than get into the peripheral a constant pick and match here is simply this. You know, when you get to the exploitation table before they get to Grays Harbor, you're 8,005 on the wild, 11,000 total. I mean, 11,700 some for hatchery wild. When you look at the numbers here on this, where we're at now, the 11,866, if you look up at the top, right under Grays Harbor total and stuff, when you look for the hatchery in the wild, people need to remember the hatchery on the Grays Harbor side are the Satsa Springs brute stock fish that are wild fish reared and dumped back in, not reused. And so they've always called them hatchery because humans touched them. The reality there is are exactly the same as the wild fish, the parent wild fish, and their prodigy to be
raised in a pond for 2 months, okay? And so if you're a cult, when you look at that hatchery number, you realize that all those hatchery fish that don't get harvested are going to spawn naturally. They have a different view of this purest hatchery wild thing that the agency has ingrained in itself. When you look at the coho number, where we fail to meet the escapement goal of for the total for everybody for naturals on, is what the heck is that thing? Coho.
35,400, Dave.
That's harvestable, ain't it?
No, that's the naturally spawning.
Okay.
Escapement goal. 30,000. Yeah.
Trifocals are going to be the death of me. Okay. So you look down at the box and we're 31738. That 4,000 fish thing, where that box is red, resides in the hump tulips. And we haven't made that escapement in 25 years, and we ain't going to make it another 50 unless you get rid of harvest. So for the coho box to be red in this particular scenario you're looking at, irregardless of who's catching them, it's an irrelevant number. We will make it on the Chehalis side, and at the hump side kind of locks us down. That's a fact we've been living with forever, year after year. As long as the Chehalis side stays green, that's a separate issue. The aggregate thing is a treaty right, and that's, and I mentioned last time, I said Ed Johnstone's, if he's got half a brain, he's going to go straight to the aggregate, and that's what he did. And quite frankly, that's what I would have done if I'd been in his shoes. So, you know, when you look at these numbers where we're at now, when you tell me that we're a little short on Chinook and this and that, you'll forgive me. I'll throw my time up trying to restore and save wild spawning populations with any human being in this state. And I'll tell you what, I don't care what that damn box says. The damage is done before they ever get to the Quinault or us terminal. The state of Washington agreed to that in the 10-year annex and signed off. And so, frankly, folks, I realize we all have concerns about IE making a statement, but we could give our entire life away on this thing, and they will still keep right on doing it. We have like zero effect, give or take a tiny percentage point, on what happens to Chehalis Chinook and Grace Harbor Chinook. That resides in the ocean, and we have no control over it. And I see no reason for the local community, tribal, gill netter, or recreational, should fall on a sword to try to save the fish that we aren't the one that's problem is. Okay? So that the box is red, I feel bad. I truly understand, as if you're a Quinault Nation or Ed Johnstone, he's looking at 2189 forecasted hatchery coming back. Those hatchery are wild broodstock fish. The ones that don't get harvested or taken, maybe some for broodstock, are going to spawn naturally in the gravel. Their parents are natural. And so the reality situation is, for the Chehalis, that box, when you add up the spawning fish, regardless of how this thing parents them out, that number will go green. Okay? So the way I look at it right now, the issue I see that hasn't been discussed right here yet is the number where you reduce like the rec harvest from 1 to 2 to get it down, and that's not about conservation. That is about sharing on the coho side. And that is another conversation that we should have right here. It's not about escapement. It's about sharing. All right?
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate the comments. Any other advisors have any comments about what we've talked about so far? I've got one other issue that I want to address before we get off the phone here, but just want to make sure all the advisors get a chance to weigh in. I heard Carrie. I heard Matt Nixon. I see Norm on the call. Alan.
Can you hear me, Chad?
Yeah, I hear you, Bob.
Okay, I'm just curious. I mean, we're coming in here without, and Dave, I hate to say this, it makes me sick almost, but I got to agree with him on that point. We don't have the fish coming back. What the hell? And I've already gotten chewed out by somebody on the ocean for complaining about the harvest rates and what's happening. So are you guys going to represent us at PFMC and what our problems are? Logically, I have one more thought. If something happens with this this virus, and in fact there's no recreational fishery, which is a possibility because we have not an idea what's going to happen, is it possible to roll those recreational fish over on the commercial side to put some money back in our economy? And that needs to be approached at PFMC and also our Fish and Wildlife Commission.
Hear you, Bob. You know, right now, as we discussed at our last advisory group meeting, we're planning on moving forward with fall fisheries and fall fishery planning. Right now, we have a stay-at-home, stay-healthy initiative from the governor's office in effect till May 4th, and that's what we're doing. In terms of planning all the way out in the fall, our hopes are that we're past this window by then and we're returning back to normal life. Understand what you're saying, but we're not planning for that right now.
Here's my question, Chad. In fact, if it goes to hell, I mean, they closed clam digging down and who knows what's going to happen with the lakes and everything. They could very well be shut down. We don't know how long it's going to go. But all I'm saying is if we have something in place in that dire strait, if the recreational fish can't take place, are those fish able to be moved over in the commercial side?
I have no idea, Bob.
I put it on you to give that to the PFMC Council and also to our Fish and Wildlife Commissioners.
Okay, thanks, Bob. Norm, Matt, Carrie, Alan, any of you folks have any like to get in here?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Can you hear me, Chad?
I can, but it's apparent that you might be the one. Okay, there we go. Now we're cleaned up a little bit. I can hear you, Alan.
Okay. I don't know what's going on here.
You need to mute your computer. Mute your computer. You're talking into the phone, and you've got it feeding into the computer as well. We're not getting you, Alan. Norm, do you have anything you want to add?
No, everything's been covered, Chad.
Okay, Carrie? Okay, well, I'm going to move on here.
Hey, Chad. Come on, Chad. I got a question.
Can you hear me, Chad?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I don't know. Somehow it's coming back through.
Yep.
I'll give up.
Why don't you go ahead and mute yourself, Alan? Why don't you go ahead and. That's terrible. Okay, there we go. Hey, Alan, if you can hear me, why don't you go ahead and just type your thoughts out in an email and send that out to the whole group, and send it to us as well, and we'll get those on the record. Go ahead, Matt.
I sent you an email, Chad, earlier.
Yeah.
My proposal in discussion with a few recreational fishers. I'm mostly familiar with the SATSA, but I did send some of the comments I received about shortening the season, keeping the 2-bag limit, eliminating the fishery into December, one fish. Some of the concern I had was enforcement is down to a single officer for the entire harbor. That fishery where you on the Sats up in Wainuchi and the other stribs there or the other rivers are when you're down to one fish as a bag, I think you're increasing mortality and you're making enforcement really difficult. I would like to see it the season reduced, the bag kept at two, and on those particular, the Wainuchi, the Sats up, I think the Wishkaw. I sent that in an email. I can send it out to the group.
That's yeah, we did receive that, Matt. We did receive that, Matt, and thank you for that perspective. Off the top of my head, I don't think that's a zero-sum game. I think that reducing, getting rid of December and Mike, if you don't agree with me, please pipe up here. But my sense is by going to a two fish bag and reducing December fisheries, that will probably increase our impact on coho, not be neutral in terms of the impacts that we see in front of us, that it would increase coho impacts. So that might be a good segue into the next part. Mike, do you want to weigh in on that at all?
Hopefully this isn't blowing up the whole audio piece, but I think here it's either impact neutral or, as Chad said, it may actually be a little more costly. So I think you hit it pretty close to accurate, Chad.
Thank you, Mike. So the last thing.
Move on. Can I just get a data request for? There's one piece on the exploitation summary, and maybe I'm just missing it. But you know,
that's where I'm getting to right now, Francis. That's the next piece I'm going to talk about.
Just one clarifying point. You know, so we're looking at adult equivalent mortality.
Yep. Hold on. Can I walk through this real quick for everybody so they understand, and then you can ask your question. So, what you're looking at here in front of you is coho, and I was only able to get the coho done. You're just going to have to trust me that it's and what we're on is what I'm showing you is in the total exploitation rate summary tab in the model that was sent out yesterday. This is just the coho piece. If you look to the right, the Chinook pieces are there for the two model runs that we have. What this really is about is compliance with our federal court orders in terms of USV Washington through Hoe v. Baldridge. And it says that we need to share 50%, right, river by river, run by run, including all treaty fisheries and all non-treaty fisheries, southern U.S. So every impact is counted once those fish cross into our southern U.S. waters. Ocean fisheries out in front of us, and then our terminal fisheries. So at the end of the day, and we don't know that this is an issue yet. This is just something that, as Mike and I are evaluating proposals and models and places where we see that we could get out of whack and have to make some changes moving forward as we work through this process. This is a page that scares me right now. And I'll quickly just jump down to highlighted gray in the treaty and then the SUS non-treaty. So if you go all the way over to the right, you'll see that 12,898. So including all treaty fisheries, treaty trawl out in the ocean, all the coastal dip-ins that would occur against the Grace Harbor coho stock, and the terminal treaty impacts, they're projected to take, you know, just about 13,000 coho. For us, we're at about 17,811 when we include all ours. So we're taking 58%. This could be an error. This could be a problem moving forward, and we might need to do some further shaping for Coho here to make that more 50-50. What I didn't get in this presentation was the Chinook numbers prior to us getting started, so I apologize for that. But if you look at those numbers, they're outfishing us when we look at the model run by about anywhere from 790 to 760 Chinook. So they're in front of us, you know, 56% or so Chinook, and we're out in front of them on Coho. What I don't know is if we reduce Coho fisheries, that's going to reduce our impact on Chinook. And if they really want to go 50-50, then it goes against both. So I don't know if this is going to be an issue moving forward, but it could be that we need to look at some further shaping for Coho fisheries in order to be compliant with Hovey-Baldridge. So I want to take some input from the advisors on that. Go ahead with your question now, Francis, and maybe I might have answered it. I'm not sure.
Actually not, but you just brought up another thing that I was looking at as well. But I just figured, okay, they're ahead one way, we're ahead the other. Maybe they'll ignore it. Or maybe that's a fair trade. I don't know the magnitude of that discrepancy is exactly fair. But getting back to my question is adult equivalent mortality. So these are the mortalities against what is a pre-harvest adult production. What is that number? Can we see that, or does Mike have it? Or can we assume that we can add up all of the mortalities are here and add it to our terminal run size forecast, and that's how many fish should have been available, adults coming in, before anybody anywhere put a piece of gear in the water?
Yes, you are correct. Those are, if, as we work down the table, excuse me. Uh-oh. Quarantine me. Sorry, I just choked on some water. As we work down the table there, where it says wild at the top.
So, hey, Chad.
Yeah.
The only thing on my screen is the original summary tab, so nothing's changed. So we're not looking at that total exploitation page.
Are you guys, so you guys not seeing what I have in front of me?
I have. It's not in your presentation. I'm looking at it from the model.
No, I understand. What I'm trying to do is share it. So that's not moving through different screens. You guys are just seeing one presentation.
We get two pages on your, whatever you're showing us. It just moved. It just went to four.
Okay. So are you seeing now the exploitation page?
Okay. It keeps moving around. Are you moving that, or are we moving that? We're able to move.
I'm moving it, but
on the far left. On the far left.
I think somebody's able to do that. Yeah.
On the far left of Chad's screen, there's an up and down arrow above a number. So you're on page four. I'll listen.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go back.
Hey, thanks, Francis. That's kind of nifty to know that that was there.
Oh, I didn't know that that's how people did that. Okay, good.
You guys see it? Everybody playing around? Moved.
I thought when I moved it, it was moving it for everybody.
That's why I just kept following along in the model. Your screen was pretty much worthless.
Oh, well, I've been moving back and forth between different ones, and I apologize.
Page four of your screen does not answer my question, but can I get that answer indirectly by adding all of these numbers up?
Yes, the answer is yes. These are the adult equivalent mortalities that accrue through all fisheries. So if everybody would go to, if you scroll over to the left side of your screen, there's a number there with up and down arrows. Everybody needs to move to page four. I apologize that we just figured this out just now. I've been doing this the whole time and thinking that you guys are seeing what I'm seeing, but apparently that's not the case.
I still haven't figured out because I'm using the model. How do you do that?
You go over on the presentation. If on the presentation, if you move your cursor all the way over to the left side of the screen, a little box pops up. If you hit the down arrow, you can move it to number 4, and you'll be seeing what I'm seeing.
Okay, so I will just make one more comment.
That's not working for me, but that's all right. I can use the model.
Okay. I'll just make one more observation then that I think is fundamentally flawed in this accounting system, is that these so-called adult equivalents and the forecast over the bar makes no accounting for non-human caused removals of fish, meaning orcas and pinnipeds and all that. Who knows what the real adult production is before anybody kills a single adult? But I mean, I guess this is our best shot at it.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for that. So
I got the algorithm now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So if everybody could go on to page 4, basically what Francis is saying there is if you look in the wild column, you can see based on this run size, that first number is 831. Based on scheduled fisheries or proposed fisheries in West Coast, Vancouver Island, other fisheries in Canada, that's how many of this stock would be impacted. So you can follow that down for each of the specific fisheries all the way down to In River. The boxes that are highlighted at the bottom show where we are in terms of the sharing principles under Hovey Baldridge. And where we're at right now is, you know, we're about 4,000 and some coho ahead of them. They're about 750 or 60 Chinook in front of us. So as Francis mentioned, that may be a wash for them and that might be okay. I just want to take a second. If there is some shaping that we have to do to bring this coho number down, I want to get some input from the advisors on what that might look like or what they would think they want to value. Is it bag limit? Is it season structure in terms of time, specific area closures, those sort of things? Want to take a little bit of input on that.
I'll put input. I think the Quinault's are getting back on this. You tell the ocean to not exercise option one and take the most coho out of the available that are there. I mean, we had three options, high, low, and medium, and the low was zero. If anybody eats that bite, the ocean will eat that bite. That's where most of the exploitation is happening. That's my input.
And Francis, I understand that. I hear that, but we need to think about what we're going to do here. That may or may not be an option. I don't have a seat on the council to make that recommendation. We need to focus on Grays Harbor fisheries and what we can do there. Understand what you're saying. Definitely.
Chad, Matt Nixon, I'd trim out the December fishery.
Okay, thanks, Matt. Dave, Norm, Bob, Alan, Andy. Carry.
Go to one fish sport limit.
One fish sport limit. Okay.
Ooh, hey there. Chatter. You got
yeah.
me?
Yeah. I can hear you, Dave.
I understand exactly what Alan said there, and I'm not so sure I did. I mean, actually, my statement the other night was when the gentleman said one fish, I says, unless the numbers dictate, you don't do that. And if the numbers dictate, you do that. So if the numbers dictate, we have to do that. I accept that. That's fine. But the pain needs to be shared equally between all portions of the rec and the commercials. if you're going to start whacking back the wreck to get the exploitation numbers down off a full season, then that percentage needs to be shared equitably across, not just all out of the wreck side, guy. Now, this is no zero-sum game here. So everybody, if there's pain to be felt, and right now you went from, we started at the last advisory meeting, two fish bag limit. Now, right here, I just heard one fish bag limit. If the numbers dictate it, yeah. But so far, it's the wreck that is giving up and nothing on the other side. And that don't fly too well with me. It has to be proportional. If we're going to give up a third of our harvest or something like that, the other side's got to give up some too, not just the wreck.
Hey, Chad.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that, Dave.
Hey, Chad, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Bob.
Well, if that's the case, now, I'm not exactly, I don't have the policy for Grace Harbor in front of me, but is not the Chinook, is for the recreational fishery, and Coho's and the Chum are for the commercial fishery, is that correct?
That's the Willapa Bay policy, Bob.
What? How's it reading Grays Harbor? As I don't have it in front of me.
It doesn't. There is no prioritization for species. Allocation is based on where you're in, whether you're in that 5% harvest control rule on either side, sharing in terms of the proportion of that allocation based on the 5% is outlined in policy.
Okay, even that being said, by the mm-hmm. time we're looking at going in on the commercial side, almost all the Chinook are gone. So, I mean, so we're already giving up the Chinook stuff, and I don't see how we can generate any fisheries. You cut us back anymore, but you've already got it set up for the commercial side. It's not a viable fishery.
Hey, Chad, I just want to interject. We got an advisor who can't communicate with us. That's Kerry Hoffman. He's on the phone.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe you can give him some coaching on. He's got his phone unmuted, but apparently he can't make his voice heard to the rest of the group.
Yeah, I wish I knew. I'm not sure. All I see is call-in user 5, 7, 8, and 10. I'm not sure which one is him. I do have a caller 8 that's unmuted that sounds like they're trying to talk, but this is the first time I've ever used it. I'm not quite sure.
Okay, I'll try to get his input by chat, and I'll conclude here in a little bit. Let the others chime in.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That'll work just fine. Or he can, you know, quite easily just send us an email too. That'll work. Norm, Alan, do you have any thoughts on this?
No, I don't.
Okay.
The boss is going to have to take some kind of a reduction. You want to know where to start? So I said sport, but commercials going to have to take some too.
Okay, I got Kerry's input right here. He'll favor the one bag as long as he contains the season. So.
Okay, thank you for that, Francis, and thank you for facilitating that input. Really appreciate it.
Just to quote, I'd rather be able to fish for one fish than no fish if we continue.
I think that's pretty solid reasoning. Thank you, Kerry. Thank you for that, and I apologize for the difficulty in communicating. We're all trying to work through, obviously, some bumps and bruises here with this new technology. So with that, I know I can see we've got some members of the public who are on the call. I'd like to turn it over to them really quick, and if they have any input that they would like to provide based on the conversations and what we've talked about today, I think we could do that at this time. So I see Bill, you're on the call. Would you like to provide any comments or suggestions?
Leave it two fish. and then cut it to one fish November, December.
Okay, thanks for that, Bill. Moving down the list here, John Campbell, I see you're on the call. Do you have anything you'd like to add to the conversation? And maybe you don't have a mic, John, I'm not sure. It doesn't look like you have a mic on your computer, maybe. Okay, Perry, anything you'd like to add?
No, Chad, thanks. Thanks for the presentation. I think well covered at this point. I don't have anything to add. Thank you.
Well, thanks. And then I got somebody is UW. I thought that might be Alan, but I'm not sure. Alan, are you logged in as UW?
Yeah, my nephew had done that.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate the moniker. So I've got a couple of folks on the phone. I know Dave, you're one of these, and Carrie, you're one of the other ones. Is there anybody who's on the phone who'd like to add anything before we end this call?
Is there another Dave besides me, Chet?
You know, I don't know. I think the call-in option here, we may be having some issues with. I'm not exactly sure. With that, does anybody have any final anything they'd like to get to us or have us consider before we end the call?
I got a little something. The reason I couldn't see the arrows that Francis was talking about in trying to figure out how to make it work, I'd put the callers on the side screen, and I think that was like for the phone. I had that up. And when you do that, it makes the up and down arrows and the magnifying thing become very, very faint because you're on a white background. So if people were to come in on this and they're doing it that way, like I am right now or somebody else, or like John Campbell, you just got to kill that side show where it's showing all the callers and the background goes, the border goes black and you can see those up and down arrows and magnifiers quite well then.
Okay, thanks for that, Dave. No, that's helpful.
I have one parting comment.
Yeah.
I did some math. I like math.
Yep, me too.
55% of the adult equivalent Chinook are gone before a single fish crosses our box. Everyone should keep that. That's why we're starting after season.
Yeah, I remember one of my mentors and predecessors here, Steve Thiesfeld, used to say Alaska was the devil. I'd say based on these numbers that we're looking at on slide number 4 of the presentation, may not be Alaska, but it sure looks like Canada might be.
Southeast Alaska is taking the lion's share, not on total. I'm using the fish as a fish as a fish.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
All Chinook headed to Grace Harbor. 55% of them are gone before they get to Westport.
I hear you. All right. I think with that, we'll go ahead and conclude. Like I said, this is an evolving situation. It's coming at us fast and furious as we move through the week. Apologize that we can't do this in a more fruitful way. And we did have some issues here, but we're doing the best we can in this challenging situation to try and keep everybody in the loop. I will continue to communicate with the group as the need arises. I don't know if I'll schedule any more of these meetings. It's really gonna depend on what comes at us, but we'll definitely be sending out updates as I get them throughout the week.
Hey, Chad, Bob.
Yeah.
I just happened to be looking here and on the coastal north of Falcon Ocean, it's blank, blank, zero all the way across. How come?
I'm not sure what you're looking at.
I'm looking at page 4.
Yeah.
And if you look on the north of Cape Falcon Ocean, there's no figures in there at all.
That's because the Treaty Troll, non-Treaty Troll, north of Leadbetter, south of Leadbetter, those numbers are right below it. It breaks it down. That's just a column header, Bob, that shows those next four lines below it are all the north of Cape Falcon Ocean impacts. It's just
Okay, so you know, north of Falcon, Leadbetter north, and south.
Yeah, so those are the ocean impacts.
There's a recreational fishery there.
Huh?
Where's the recreational fishery?
You can look down and you see Area 1, and then you see Buoy 10, and then Area 2, Area 3, Area 4.
Oh, okay.
They're right there, bud.
I thought they should be together with the north of Falcon Ocean.
They are. It's just the way this kind of lays out, and there's that box there where we calculate both treaty and non-treaty dip-in fisheries in coastal terminal areas. So those do to go together. Where it's bold is kind of a header, and what follows below individual impacts from those fisheries.
Okay,
that's a good
question. Thank you.
People might not have understood that. That's a good question. Sometimes we're so used to looking at these things that we just know what we're looking at and got to remind ourselves that not everybody has lived this, some people would call it a dream. Some might call it something different. I can see by Mike's reaction, he liked that. With that, we'll let everybody go and enjoy the rest of their Sunday.
Thanks, Chad.
Yep. No, thank you guys.